Glad you're here with us as we celebrate the second Sunday of Advent. Let's stand together for our call to worship. Come before the Lord with joyful songs. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before the Lord with joy. Know that the Lord is good. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Stay standing as you are able and let us sing together our hymn of praise this morning.
We light the rose-colored candle for joy. This candle reminds us of the great joy, the good news of Jesus Christ that brought to all of those who heard. In God's word, Luke 2:10, the shepherds in the field saw a great star in the sky, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Wow. And in music, we are reminded of the great joy that fills our hearts, that Jesus, our Savior, is born. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. And Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. What great joy for all of those who hear and receive the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. He is born. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Your love has come here to dwell.
That's a great welcome. If you're new with us today and you're visiting with us today, we are so thankful that you're here. We'd love to meet you. We'd love you to stop by the Connection Center after the service and meet Nelda or Verna today, who will be out there welcoming you. And they have a little gift for you, a Christmas devotional and a coffee card, and they'll tell you about our church, give you a copy of Grace Alive, which tells you more about our church. And if you would pull out your Connect card that's in your bulletin, that would be great if you would be filling that out while I'm letting you know about the announcements. We'd like to know that you're here. We'd love to hear your prayer requests. So if you write a prayer request on the back, and even greater, even better, is hearing all those responses, all those answers to prayer. So tell us about your praises, too. The praise list in the prayer letter has been growing, so we'd love to hear those praises. If you have any questions, please put that on the Connect card too, and you'll get a call from somebody at the church. We have lots of things going on at the church right now. This is just such a fun month celebrating Jesus' birthday. If you weren't able to make the congregational meeting before the service, you'll be glad to know that the session will serve as the PNC. So they will be the pastor nominating committee. So we were glad to hear that. Put this on your calendar. If you haven't, have your phone, mark it on your phone. One service next week at 10 o'clock. And you don't want to miss it. It is just going to be such a fun time. We are doing a Christmas musical that Doug Cairns put together, the Bethlehem musical. We have people from our choir singing in it. We have little tiny kids singing in it. It's just going to be such a fun time, and you don't want to miss it. So 10 o'clock, and I might mention that there's extra parking over at Astria Hospital if you think about parking. The Adams Giving Tree happens this week. I was going to peek to see if there were any tags left on the tree before I walked in. But if there happened to be, if you could pick one up and bring a gift this afternoon, that would be wonderful. They're wrapping right after church. Well, they're wrapping right now, actually. They're wrapping gifts and getting that ready. And they still need some volunteers for Adams. So if you would like to volunteer for Wednesday night, that would be wonderful. Right after this service at 12:15, there will be a short volunteer meeting so that you'll know what you'll be doing on Wednesday. I don't know about you, but it feels like Christmas is just kind of rushing up to us quickly. And being in the middle of the week, do you find that you rush into Tuesday and then we have Christmas? And some people are working on Wednesday, Tuesday, some people are working on Thursday. So that Christmas Eve service, that time of just coming together and just letting the peace of the Christmas season just wrap your arms around you is such a wonderful time. So mark your calendar also for the Christmas Eve services. We'll be having two of them. One is the family service at 5 o'clock. And there is childcare available for that, too, and refreshments afterwards also. And then our 75th annual Carols and Candles is going to be at 8 o'clock. And John will be playing the organ before. He'll play some Christmas music for us before getting us ready for the Christmas Eve service. So there's lots going on and in celebrating Jesus' birth. Even though this is a really happy time of year, before we have a prayer time, I was just wanted to share with you just a few words before we go into prayer. I was thinking how quickly our lives change. Last month I was in Connecticut for about 3 weeks helping take care of grandchildren. And when I returned, four of our friends had a new diagnosis of cancer, just like that. So how quickly a dark and difficult time can come into our lives. But we have a Heavenly Father who we can cast all of our cares on, don't we? And that He carries for us. So this morning at the close of our prayer time, I wanted to take just a few seconds and have us name members of our family, friends, neighbors, who just need the tender love of Jesus to invade their lives. With healing, with restoration, with wisdom, with direction, with salvation, with discernment, with comfort. So be thinking of those people that you would just like to quietly lift up in prayer. So let's pray together. Gracious Father, we do come to you and we worship you this morning. From our hearts we sing our praises and adoration. You are our Redeemer and our Savior. You're our high tower, our strength, our healer, our comforter, our counselor. You are Almighty God. And to think you left all the comforts of heaven because you loved us so very much and wanted us to have eternal life with you. But we have a problem, our sin. So this morning we confess to you that we are all sinners and that we have fallen short of God's glory in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And it is with deep gratitude that we thank you, Jesus, for your extravagant gift of forgiveness and cleansing of our sin, and thus restoring our relationship with you and giving us the glorious hope of eternal life. This morning, we lift up our Yakima Valley to you. We pray the joy of celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we pray that Jesus will be magnified during this Christmas season. We pray for those who say they believe in God, or they know there's a God, but they've never met Jesus, the Savior, the light of the world. Prepare their hearts to receive and respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. And we want to be planters of seeds and water, so let us be Jesus with skin on as we walk and meet people during this Christmas season. And God, would you bless the many celebrations of your birth here at Christ? May the children and families at Adams Elementary be flooded with your love and know there is a Heavenly Father who cares for them dearly. And may the Bethlehem musical be a wonderful celebration of your birth and be a gift of love to our congregation. And this morning, the gates of heaven were opened wide, and there are angels rejoicing because Harriet Ide entered heaven. And so we pray for the Ide family. We pray for Donna and Donnie. We pray for their comfort and their peace. And just knowing that their mom is wrapped around Jesus' arms. He's hugging her. You truly are the hope of the world. And together this morning, we each want to lift up names of family, friends, neighbors, co-workers, who may be in a difficult and dark place and need a divine touch from God, or they need to know Jesus as their Savior. So would you hear our quiet prayers to you, O Lord, right now, as we just whisper those names to you. Think of George, Dexter. God's word said that our prayers are like incense flowing to the throne of heaven, the throne of God. Together we praise and we thank you in the powerful name of the baby born in a manger, Jesus Christ, who when he lived among us taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Sent Jesus. Let's continue with our worship with our hymn of thanksgiving, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. It's a hymn that calls out the name of Jesus in four biblical names: Emmanuel, God with us; Dayspring, a new beginning; Wisdom, and Desire of Nations. Let's stand if you're able and we'll sing.
before you're seated, would you just turn to the people around you and bless them in the name and love of Christ this morning? Donnie, Donna, it's so good to see you, and our prayers and thoughts, the love, our hugs are with you. You're not alone in this journey, so glad you're here with us this morning. We're going to continue on for the next few weeks in Isaiah 9, just kind of unpacking this very famous prophecy of Isaiah to the Israelites that is a word for us to be reminded that God fulfilled His promise to send His Son, the light of the world. We're going to focus on Isaiah 9, verses 3 through 5, but I want to read the first two verses again as well, just to keep things in context as we go forward. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are indeed that you came to us wrapped in flesh. We are grateful to know that we can now come before you and stand before you and in worship and to come to your throne of grace to receive mercy and help because your Son wrapped himself in our sins. And so now, Lord, as we gaze into your word, as we listen to your Holy Spirit, wrap us with his righteousness and with his goodness, I pray in the name of Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Before we get into the verses, I want you to watch a video.
My mama told me something when I was growing up that has forever changed my life. She played the piano at our little church at 3rd and Pine Street for 37 years. She tried to teach me to play the piano, but I wasn't very good. She would teach me the names of the notes, what a major key is, what a minor key is. She tried to teach me musical theory, but I was just bored. Then, one day, she told me that the best news in the world is found by playing a simple scale on the piano. I had no idea what she meant, so she told me to play an 8-note scale. So I did. I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it incorrectly and that I needed to play it the other way. So I did. Again, I said, "How is that good news?" And she said I played it the right way, but I needed to add the pauses. The pauses? She said, "The pauses. Add them on the first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note." Now, I was frustrated and said, "How can 8 notes with random pauses be the best news in the world?" Then I got up, walked away, and went outside. Frankly, I didn't care what she was talking about. I didn't like playing the piano anyway. Well, years later, my mama got sick and passed away. As I was thinking about her, I remembered what she told me about the piano. Not only that, I still remember the notes she told me to pause. The first, second, fourth, sixth, seventh, and last note. So I sat down at her piano and played the scale with the pauses. That's when I realized the good news she was talking about.
God is with us, joy to the world. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, is the joy of our salvation. And so before we unpack the verses of Isaiah 9, 3 through 5, as I watched that video, I was reminded that even the joy of our salvation is not found in playing all the right notes. It's not found in going through the motions, doing all the right things, and playing the scales. The joy of our salvation, the good news of great joy that is for all the world, is when we discover the right pauses. In this time of season, in the busyness and the craziness of what is going on as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ, we may not experience the joy that is ours. In our own journey of faith, as we consider who we are in this world as opposed to who we are in Christ, the joy of our salvation may go unnoticed. So this morning, I want us to have an intentional pause, to be still, to know that God is God, that He is in control, that He is sovereign, that He is on His throne, that no matter what is going on in this world, no matter who is trying to rob the joy of God from you, that we are called to be still, to pause, to engage our heart with the heart of God and to listen to His voice. For He calls us by name. We are His children. You are His son. You are His daughter, whom He loves and in whom He is well pleased. You are the delight of God. That is good news of great joy. So would you just take time to be reminded that no matter what is going on in your world, that God is with you, that no matter how you may feel about yourself, that God delights in you. So let's just pause to be still and hear God's voice speaking into our hearts. So Lord, come, speak to us and remind us of your everlasting love. And now, Lord, may you continue to restore the joy of your salvation to us. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, now to these very interesting verses in Isaiah 9, 3 through 5. Not your typical Advent or Christmas passage, but it's in the context of that great prophecy that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And then in a couple of weeks, we'll see, for unto us a child is born. So the first point that I want to hopefully unpack for us here this morning is that there is joy in the harvest. If you look back at verse 3, it begins by saying, you, God, have multiplied the nation. God has multiplied the nation. As I said last week, Isaiah is prophesying by using the past tense, as though what is to come has already happened. And for those of us on this side of the birth, the death, and resurrection of Christ, we know that God did indeed multiply the nation or the nations, that he fulfilled the promise to Abraham, who was called the father of many nations, and that through the lineage of Abraham came the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. And so the multiplication of the nations is not simply geographical, it's spiritual. It's the multiplication, it's the expanding and the increase of God's people here on earth. It's the kingdom of God growing and multiplying as people give their lives to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isaiah goes on to say that God has increased their joy and they rejoice before God as with joy at the harvest. As with joy. It's not a literal harvest. You know, back in ancient times, the harvest was a time of exultation, of rejoicing, of songs and music, and a festival. As the people of God came before God with their first fruits. And so he says there is rejoicing before God, to God, at the harvest, as we give of our first fruits to him. But Isaiah is not talking about an actual harvest. He's not talking about the first fruits. He's talking about if you rejoice at the harvest, there will be even greater rejoicing when you are released from Babylon, when you, as God's harvest, return to Jerusalem. But it's even more than just that. With a messianic nature, the harvest that Isaiah is talking about perhaps is the same harvest that Jesus talks about when he tells the disciples the harvest, those who are in need of the good news of great joy, the harvest is plentiful. But the workers, the messengers who can go out into the fields with good news of great joy and proclaim to them that a Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born, he says, are few. And so you and I get to rejoice in the harvest as we go out and spread the gospel, as we share the good news of great joy, and as we get to celebrate when just one person gives their life to Christ. That is good news of great joy for us. Scripture says when one person repents and gives their life to Christ, there is a party going on in heaven, that the angels are rejoicing. So yes, there is rejoicing at the harvest in heaven, but there is also rejoicing for those of us here on earth when we get to celebrate the one person who was born again. Someone referred to that party in heaven as a birthday party. And when one person is saved, when one person is born again, the angels are celebrating. They're throwing this party, and there's a banner in heaven with that person's name on it, to remind them that they belong to God, that he has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. In fact, one day, when you bent your knee and professed with your mouth Jesus as Lord, when you received the gift of God's grace into your life, there was a party going on in heaven. The angels were rejoicing and celebrating over you. And the banner that was displayed had your name written on it. That is good news of great joy. That we know that our name is written for eternity in the kingdom of God. But I thought about that word banner, and it brought me to Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. That says, Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. So it made me stop and think about that. The Lord is my banner. It's not so much that my name is written in the book of life, that my name is on that banner in heaven, as much as it is about God, who is my banner, has written His name on my heart. That He, by the Holy Spirit, has taken my heart of stone and given to me a heart of flesh, that I no longer belong to this world, but I belong to the Maker of heaven and earth. That I am not my own, that I have been bought with a price, and He has claimed me and written His name on my heart. That is good news of great joy. Because now we can live with a new identity. We have been transformed. God no longer sees us for who we were or even who we are, but who we are becoming day by day, moment by moment, in Christ. And that brings us to the second point. There is joy in the victory. The battle has been won and the victory is ours. We can walk and live and dance and celebrate in this world that we are new creations in Christ. That the old is past and the new keeps coming. We do not need to live in this world. We do not need to walk in our Christian journey as though it is a constant battle and hardship. Jesus did tell us there are going to be troubles in this world. So yes, even in this world, as we journey this life of faith, there will be suffering, there will be trouble, there will be sorrow, there will be difficulties, there will be darkness. But for those of us who know the One who is the light of the world, we know that our darkness has been driven away, that the battle was dealt with on the cross, the enemy was defeated, and that greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. Jesus said, yeah, you'll have trouble in this world, but take heart, find joy, know that I have overcome the world. That is good news of great joy. Isaiah goes on in verses 3 through 5 and says, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. He's talking about warriors who have gone to battle and found victory and come back and take the spoil, the rewards that are theirs now. He says, the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. See, Isaiah is talking about a celebration at the end of a victorious battle, where the yoke, the burden, the agony of defeat has been broken and lifted. For you and me, by the death and resurrection of Christ, the yoke of sin and death, the burdens of guilt and shame that weigh us down have been broken. Our sins have been forgiven. And not only have they been forgiven, but they've been tossed far away from us as far as east is from the west. And so again, I remind us that God now sees us not as who we were, not as who we are, but as who we are becoming in Christ. The old is gone. The new keeps coming. And we too get to celebrate and rejoice with the riches, the spoils of the victory, the rewards that are ours. Yes, one day we will receive a crown of life. But in this world, the riches of heaven are for us as well as co-heirs of Christ. The inheritance as God's children is for us in this world. To walk with confidence. To know that our sins are forgiven. To know that God loves us and calls us by name. That He has written His name on our heart. We can live victoriously in this world no matter what comes against us. Because we know the truth that if God is for us, nothing, no one can come against us. No one can defeat us. We might bend, but we won't be broken. We might be weighed down, but we won't be destroyed. Because by the resurrection of Christ, we have good news of great joy. That one day we too will celebrate with the angels in heaven. But unfortunately, Too many Christians, maybe some of us here today, live our lives in this world as though there are no victories. There are no celebrations. There is no rejoicing. Life in this world is just one defeat after another. There's no joy because they carry with them the memory of their past failures, their rejections. They're weighed down by the wounds of past decisions that they made or others made. They are burdened by the yoke of guilt and shame. Some actually do not believe they deserve to have any joy in this world because of the life they've lived. And I've heard those words. As a hospice chaplain, I've heard individuals tell me that there was no way at the end of their life they did not believe they would be going to heaven because of their past. That it was all about their goodness, their righteousness. When the truth, the good news of great joy, is that it's about the goodness of Christ and His righteousness. We can rejoice knowing that the old is past and that we are being transformed on a daily basis. It's kind of like that Charlie Brown Christmas tree. Remember that first tree that he bought? Measly and frail, drooping under the weight of just one ornament. And then Linus comes along. And the transformation begins because he sacrifices his own security blanket and wraps it around the base of the tree. And before you know it, that old measly Charlie Brown Christmas tree is covered with pine needles, lights, and garland. It's transformed. It's new. And can you hear the gospel in there a little bit? That God looked upon us in our original nature. He had compassion on us. He had love for us. And He sent His Son into this world, born as a baby, wrapped in human flesh. And then Jesus, as a servant of God, as a Lamb of God, went to the cross, wrapped Himself, clothed Himself in our sin, in our filth, was dead and buried, but rose again 3 days later, giving us the Holy Spirit, who now can come to us and wrap us, clothe us in the righteousness of Christ. You see, God doesn't look at you in your original condition. By the blood of Christ, by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God does not see you for who you used to be. He doesn't even see you for who you are now. But He's got a vision and He's got a picture of who you are becoming in Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed. In this world, in our journey of faith, the enemy prowls about. And the enemy is just looking for an opportunity to come along and trip you up, to lie to you, to deceive you, to tell you that you are a flawed and broken individual, that you are not worthy of God's love, that you don't deserve any joy in this lifetime. But the truth is, in this world, we are broken individuals. We are flawed human beings. But because of the death and resurrection of Christ, we are being transformed on a daily basis. That the Holy Spirit continues to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. The Holy Spirit continues to forgive us of all our sins. And we worship and we bow down to a God who loves us in the midst of our filth, who came to us in the midst of our darkness, in the midst of our sin, who continues to come to us in this life, in this world, as we journey towards eternity. And he whispers and tells us the truth that we are not loved because we are righteous. We are not accepted or approved by God because of all the good things that we do. But that in spite of our flaws, in spite of our brokenness, in spite of the times when we stumble and fall, he still walks with us and carries us and lifts us. And even though we walk at times through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear nothing because God is with us. And I know this morning that there are some of you here today, Donnie and Don, Donna, you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Others of you here are walking in a valley of darkness where there is no joy. I can look out and see others who are still weighed down by the burdens of this world because of a loved one who is no longer here. Some of you are going through the holidays and there is no joy because your health is poor. Perhaps your job is too stressful. Perhaps your marriage is falling apart. Or maybe you're going through a time of depression. And I just want to tell you that I've been there. 2 years after I left here, I spent an entire year in the throngs of a deep and dark depression. It took me a year to feel God lift me up out of that. But God never left me. He was with me in times of darkness. He held me when I was curled up on the floor, sobbing like a child. He loved me when I did not feel lovable. He carried me when I had no strength. So if you're in that place, I'd love to walk with you. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to be there for you. But I stand here today knowing that we love a God, have a God who loves us, who calls us by name, who brings beauty out of ashes, and who brings joy out of sorrow. And that even though there is mourning and grieving in the evening, we know that there is joy in the morning, even if it's not until the dawning of the new day when there is a new heaven and a new earth. In the meantime, we look to our Lord. We celebrate with the angels because we know not only is our name written in heaven, but his name is written on our heart. You're going to watch another video. You're going to listen to somebody who's been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. And you're going to hear her testimony and witness of how God has met her along that journey. So listen to the testimony, the words of Monty Miller.
"24 months ago, the process of loneliness began for me. October 9th, 2017, Brent was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. What we first thought was brain cancer, in the few days that followed, was diagnosed as lung cancer that metastasized to his brain. After 8 months and 27 days, Brent returned home. At 42 years old, I was facing the fact that I was alone. We all think that we know what loneliness is. The trouble is, loneliness is subjective. So really, there's no way for anyone to truly know what it looks like. Individualized loneliness is defined by what a person wants to, in contrast to what they have. I can have 100 friends and family, but I long for my partner, my best friend. The person I could tell anything to, who kept me grounded with all my crazy shenanigans. People who are grieving are at such a disadvantage. A person that we long for are permanently gone. The ache of having loved someone so much that pieces of you become them and pieces of them become you. When Brent left this earth, a piece of me, my heart, our history went with him. Now that Brent is gone, parts of me no longer make sense. The roles we each played are now my own to navigate. The jokes that only he would understand, the memories we shared, what do I do with all of these things now? Loneliness flows through me like a wave. Some days it's all I can do to keep it together, and others I feel like I've got this. I don't believe loneliness is easily solved. It takes time and effort. For me, the hardest of all has been finding acceptance. I will never fill that void. That simply won't happen. But I'm slowly finding ways to accept what simply is. How do you do this? I sadly can't answer that for you. I guess what I can say and what I'm working on is when you're ready, open yourself up to the love of people in your life. We don't have to let go of our loved ones, but at the same time, we can decide to accept the company and the support of others. It won't be easy, it won't be perfect, but my hope is just maybe, in time, we will feel the love of many. If during this Christmas season you need someone to laugh with, to cry with, to have a conversation about your loved one, contact me. I would find it a great blessing to share your memories. One of the things my friends and family do now is a Remember Me tree. And in my front yard at Christmas time, we decorate the front yard. We hang ornaments in honor of our loved ones who have passed. We eat together and we share about the ones that we love and miss. This tree has lots of branches. All are welcome. What I hear when I hear the word loneliness is only, and I want to share my hope with you. It's not only you, it is us.
So we began this service by taking time to be silent and to allow God to breathe life into us, to restore the joy of His salvation in us. But now what I would like to do is for us to pause and be still. And in your silence, kind of continuing on with what Donna had done earlier, would you pray for that individual or those individuals who right now need to know and hear, receive, and experience the good news of great joy that there is a Savior, Jesus Christ, who is sent to us by a Heavenly Father, a God who loves us and calls us by name. Would you just take time in silence and to pray for those individuals? Let's pray. Father, hear us now as we ask you to restore the joy of salvation to those in our hearts, and in our minds and in our thoughts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we offer these prayers. Amen.
Thank you.
At this time in our service, you have the opportunity to experience the joy of giving. And it's truly a blessing and a joy to return to God our tithes and offerings, our first fruits, but also to continue to give our heart, soul, and mind and body to God. So at this time, the ushers will come forward, and I want to remind you, we're getting towards the end of the year, so if you are interested in helping us end well and would like to give an end-of-year gift, you have a few weeks left to do that. Also, we are receiving still your pledge commitments if you haven't filled one out yet and want to contribute and be a part of what God is doing financially here at Grace of Christ in the next year. There's still time for you to submit those as well. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are indeed grateful people because you love us. You loved us before we ever loved you. You spoke life to us before we even paid attention to you. You sent your Son to us to die for us before we even knew that we were in need of a Savior. And so now, Lord, because you first gave to us, we give back to you just a portion of the many blessings that you have given to us, the inheritance that is ours as children of the King. For it's in Christ's name I pray and give you the glory. Amen. doesn't that just want you to go out and tell the world the good news of great joy? Oh, it makes me anxious for Christmas Eve. I can't wait. In a moment, I'm going to give the benediction. Following that will be the postlude. But I invite you, if you're able, to stick around. And if you're interested, I want to invite anyone who's around to come forward up here. And we want to pray for some individuals who are going through some suffering and difficulties right now, particularly the Ides. We want to pray for them. We want to pray for Scott Henyon, who has had his bone marrow transplant surgery and is now in recovery. We want to be praying for Steve Shewe, who will be also going over to Seattle this week, for another hopefully gentle but invasive radiation to relieve pain at this point. But we also want to pray for Craig Sundquist, who is having surgery tomorrow at 9 a.m. So after the postlude, as people kind of do have to leave and make their way out, we're going to gather up here, and some of us are just going to intercede and pray on behalf of those individuals. And if you come up and I'm missing somebody that we need to pray for right now, just pray for them, all right? So now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He turn His countenance towards you. May you know that He delights in you. He loves who you are becoming in Christ every moment and every day. And may He now fill you with unspeakable joy now and forever. God bless.